through the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read from Genesis chapter 5, from the beginning of this chapter, 17 verses. Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon through the help of the Lord. And now, before we continue our reading this chapter and searching through the verses of the old records and chronology of the events of the first people of this world, let us now kneel down before the Lord in prayer and praises to his name. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow down in our hearts to thank thee for thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord. From century to century, for a long time, the mankind is searching and trying to find out, where did I come from and what is their destiny? And groping in darkness, the fallen humanity is making all kind of imaginations, theories, explanations, and changing their thinking so many times, they still seem not to be ashamed of contradicting thy holy word. So plainly, so clearly thou hast revealed, O Lord God Almighty, that the whole mankind has descended from the first people that thou hast created. And in this holy book, O Lord, thou hast given us the records, thy revelation to the mankind, the testimony of truth, revealing, O Lord, that thou art the creator of the mankind, that thou art the creator of the whole universe, that thou art the only one to whom we are responsible for everything that we do, O Lord. Thou art the one that knows our thinking, our emotions, our affections, and the thoughts before we become aware of them are known unto thee. And there is nothing that can be hidden from thee, O Lord. Thou seest and knowest everything. Thou art the Almighty God, our Creator. Therefore, O Heavenly Father, we worship thee, desiring, O Lord God Almighty, to praise thee and to glorify thy holy name. And we pray, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that thou lead us and teach us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to worship thee with gratitude and love, with reverence and godly respect that is due to thy commandments. Teach us, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to be thy faithful, obedient, beloved children of thy covenant in Christ. For we see, O Lord, that our life and living belong to thee, and that we are accountable to thee for all that we are doing and the things that we should do, and yet we are not doing them. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we see that we are no better than the millions that are still living in darkness, ignorant of the great judgment that is coming, and hating thy truth, lusting after sin, and rejoicing in their iniquity, and yet deeply, deep down in their hearts, not having peace, not knowing the joy of heaven that thou givest to those whom thou hast accepted in Christ. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, only because of thy great goodness and mercy, because thou hast loved us even before we were born, even before we started breathing this air that is polluted with sins of the mankind, thou hast loved us in Christ before the world was created. And thou, seeing ahead of the time, O Lord, what is needful for our salvation, thou hast prepared that sacrifice to redeem us. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thy wisdom, thy goodness and thy mercy, thy perfect justice, thy righteousness, O Lord, that is beyond description, all of that is way beyond the frame of our limited understanding. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, teach us that godly fear, that true respect for thy commandments, and grant us deep, sincere, honest admiration for this blessed word of thine in which thou hast revealed the truth to us. O Father, as the patriarchs and the elders and thy people of old, since the days of Seth and those that were following, even until the days of Noah, offered sacrifices and called upon thy holy name, grant us, O Lord God Almighty, that we walk and live in Christ, instructed by thy holy word and guided by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be, throughout our pilgrimage, an offering holy and acceptable unto thee in Christ, that we offer unto thee our life and living, that all our efforts every day, all of our efforts to be in that one direction, with that one intention, a continuous desire and longing of our soul to please Thee, to honor Thee, and to glorify Thee. Gracious Lord, for that purpose we pray that Thou sanctify us, that Thou illuminate our minds, O Lord, that Thou sanctify our souls, make us free from vanity and pride, and every evil desire. And Thou, Lord, give us holy thinking. Thou give us pure spiritual emotions and affections. Thou make our heart a temple of Thy Holy Spirit. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in that wonderful and blessed kingdom of Thine, Thou art gathering from every nation and every tribe the people that belong to that one nation of the redeemed ones in Christ. Thou hast had, O Lord, pilgrims upon the face of this earth that were wealthy in earthly blessings, like Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, like Job, and many others. Thou hast had those, O Heavenly Father, that were poor and destitute, like the beggar Lazarus. And they are all together, O Lord God Almighty, as they were together here in Thy goodness and grace, so they are together in that kingdom of glory, for their lives Thou hast recorded in Thy book of life. Gracious Lord, grant to us also that we be Thy faithful pilgrims and the soldiers of that great captain of the heavenly host, that whether we be poor and destitute, whether we had multitudes of material blessings, that great and everlasting blessing of salvation and life eternal be ours in Christ, so that after this earthly pilgrimage, O Lord God Almighty, we may enter into Thy peace, that we may inherit that life everlasting and joy beyond description with all Thy redeemed ones, O Lord. Make us Thou strong in this holy faith. Fill our hearts with love. May that blessed hope of Thy glorious coming, O Lord, keep our soul in expectation, that we be like the servants of Thine and ministers of righteousness that are always on guard, always waiting, O Lord God Almighty, ready to open the door of our hearts to every good counsel of Thy Spirit, to every good commandment of Thy Holy Scripture. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as long as we are pilgrims here, Thou, Lord, never leave us nor forsake us. Shower Thy blessings upon Thy people, O Lord, and make us a blessing to the others. Thou, O Heavenly Father, in these last days, still honor the sacrifice of thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, and thou still manifest the power of thy Spirit, and thou be revealing the beauty of thy holiness, the beauty of thy gospel, O Lord. And thou keep open the door of salvation and move the hearts to the Savior. For no one can come to the truth unless thou in thy loving, mighty and gentle Spirit wouldst draw the hearts of men to thy revelation. O Lord God Almighty, have thou mercy upon this last generation, and thou grant us thy pure and holy love, and thou make us zealous in thy service, and thou grant us, O Lord, peace of conscience, purified and sanctified by thy truth, and thou grant us joy in serving thee, that our hearts and our souls may rejoice in thy goodness and grace, O Lord. And as thy holy word is proclaimed, O Father, thou grant true repentance, full conversion, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ, O Lord, and that peace and joy that goes on and on until thy children are united, until all the redeemed souls become one in Christ, in the beauty of thy holiness, the bride prepared for that glorious heavenly wedding feast, that together with our great high priest, O Lord, together with the bridegroom of our souls, we may worship thee, our heavenly Father, that the glory and honor of thy holy name may fill every soul and the whole universe. For thou art worthy to be honored, worshipped, and glorified. O Lord God Almighty, today, thou be merciful to thy children, and strengthen the weak, and thou heal the sick. And thou, Lord God Almighty, defeat the enemy of our souls, deliver the captives, deliver the oppressed, and may thy people enjoy the blessedness of that liberty which thou hast given us in Christ, thy Holy Son. Gracious Lord, thou alone art God, teach us how to honor, respect, and worship thee in spirit and in truth. And thou inspire our souls with praises of thy holy name, and unite our voices and our hearts in glorifying thy holy name, even though we are only a few souls here in this place. May in thy love, and because of thy presence, and thy Spirit being in our hearts, and thy word in our midst and in our lives, may we be united with all thy people in heaven and in earth, that we follow in the steps of the Savior, and that this last generation by thy grace may complete that long line of thy faithful ones that testified that thou art God and there is none other, that to thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we continue our reading from Genesis chapter 5 and the verse number 18, and let us read to the end of this chapter for the strengthening of our faith in the name of our Lord. Genesis 5, 18 and on. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's the end of chapter 5. We might wonder and question ourselves, beloved, why was that important that we get the chronology, that we get the list of the names of the people that lived after Adam and Eve, the first couple of people, started their difficult and sorrowful living upon the face of this earth. But perhaps one part of the answer we can find in the evidence that we have, first, that the Savior was promised to Adam and Eve, and because the Savior was promised to Adam and Eve, the Savior was promised to the mankind. And then when we read how many generations were since Adam until the great flood, and since the great flood until our father Abraham, and after the father Abraham to the King David's time, and then until the birth of the little child in Bethlehem. Then we see how God, our Heavenly Father, presented in His Holy Word that even though the ground was cursed, those that believed on God were blessed. Even though that thorns and thistles were growing far and wide upon this earth, still, there was enough bread and water for those that trusted in the Lord. That God is always mindful of His creation and of His creatures, and those that called upon the name of the Lord were not rejected, were not forgotten, were not left alone, but the goodness and grace of the Heavenly Father spread the mercy of the wings of His mercy over the souls that believed. We see here, beloved, that after the awful tragedy, the first murder that is described by the end of the chapter 4, the death of Abel, the first righteous worshiper born upon the face of this earth, and after the curse of Cain, the first murderer and the progenitor of a godless nation, the founder of idolatry, false worship, and the beginner or the forefather of every evil that happened, like hatred, murders, oppression, arrogancy, pride, lusts, all kind of evil that happened on this earth and that lasted until its culmination just on that last day of the first world when the flood started. After Cain departed into a far country, far away from the house of his parents, we read in the verse 25 of the chapter 24 that Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, Eve, had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. We see that Adam and Eve are still hoping, still waiting, that the promises of God will come to pass, that someday of the seed of the woman will come the Savior. Well, the Savior did not come as the seed of the man, and in all probability this was not quite clear or known to Adam and Eve. However, because they worshiped God before, because they hoped and waited for the promises of God to be fulfilled, they became the line of true worshippers of God. And we see that to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I wonder, beloved, how did that started? Apparently before that time, from time to time the people were offering sacrifices and they were waiting for a sign from God to see if their sacrifice is accepted or not. If their sacrifice is accepted or rejected. And God would give them a sign, and so they would know if their way of living is pleasing to the Lord or there should be a serious change. But now, in the days of Adam, Seth, and Enos, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. The mankind started talking to God, expressing their needs, their hopes, their desires, and their thanksgiving in words. That's something new. Perhaps when Seth was born, and as a child grew up and became a man, and to him a son was born, and in the meantime many other sons were born to Adam, and then when Seth's son Enos grew up and he had a son, and then later on more children, in the meantime Adam and Seth also had their children, and the people were multiplying more and more, that they looked at one another and none of them was the Savior, and none of them looked like someone who has the power to live a sinless, perfect life. And none of them had the direct communication with God to know exactly every will of the Lord. And none of them was so perfectly wise and holy, and as they looked at one another, they acknowledged that they are all sinners. And they needed someone to talk to. They needed someone to call upon his name, and that someone was God of righteousness and mercy. So they called on the name of the Lord, and so the prayers were instituted, and the people started calling on the name of God. As we read chapter 4 and chapter 5, if we take all the verses and place them in a chronological order to see when what happened, we can see a very interesting and a very dynamic history that in all of its dramatical events is very, very slow in comparison with what we are experiencing nowadays. We can see that when Adam had 103 years, now, when they were in the Garden of Eden, I think that the years were not counted. I cannot be completely sure about that, but I think that these 103 years are after the beauty and blessedness of the Garden of Eden was lost for the mankind. But in any case, it seems that Cain and Abel were not very far from one another in years. That short time after the birth of Cain, Abel was born. Of course, that can be also a speculation. It's possible or could be that Cain was 10, 15 or 20 years older than Abel. We don't have that detail in the scripture. However, we have this information that when Adam had 103 years, that his next son, who is in the list, on the list, on the record in the scripture, as one of the succeeding patriarchs, the first patriarch after Adam. So Adam was an elder and a ruler among his people. Cain was far away, a ruler and like a king of his people. And when Seth was born, Adam had 103 years probably of his earthly pilgrimage or his earthly life. I imagine that between the death of Abel and the between the death of Abel and the departure of Cain and the birth of Seth, there was quite a long period of time that the catastrophe that happened when Cain murdered Abel was such a shock that it seemed to me that the life on earth was like frozen for a time. And then long time after that, when Adam was 130 years old, of course Eve was just as old, because that is if the years are counted from the time they left the Garden of Eden. When Adam was 130 years old, Seth was born. And then when Adam was 235 years old, his grandson was born, Seth's son Enos. And they started praying 235 years after they stepped on the ground of this earth. They started praying. It was revealed to them that they should pray, they should call upon the name of the Lord. But their sacrifices are not actually gifts to God, that God does not need gifts from man, that everything is God's property, that their sacrifices are an acknowledgement, an expression, a testimony, a gratitude, a hope, a prayer, and they started calling upon the name of God. 70 years later, the fifth man, or the fifth elder in the line of elders or patriarchs, was born, and his name is Mahalalel. 65 years later, his first son was named Jared. At that time, Adam had 460 years. 152 years later, the seventh man was born, Enoch. At that time, Adam had 622 years of age. Now, the people multiplied, and by this time there probably were many, many people born, because after the first son, each one of them had more sons and daughters. And yet, it seemed to me that they were not multiplying as fast as the people of nowadays. Because they lived so long, it seemed to me that between the birth of two children, sometimes few decades passed. Now we see that when Enoch was only 65 years, so far in the line of the patriarchs, Enoch was the youngest father. He was only 65 when his first son, Methuselah, was born. And something happened in Enoch's life after the birth of his first child, because we read in the Bible that since that time, I'm looking for that verse. And Enoch, that's verse 21 in chapter 5, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and one day they didn't see Enoch anymore. Enoch disappeared. That was the first rapture. He was taken to be with God. The one that walked with God through this life on this earth was taken by God to rest with God in the life after this life. Now, before Enoch was taken, almost all of the people that were born after the birth of Seth, the second man listed in this chronology of the lives of patriarchs, all the people were still on this earth. So we have Enoch, the seventh man, and his son Methuselah was born when Enoch was 65 years old, and then when Methuselah was 187 years old, he got his first son, and his name was Lamech. And when Lamech was born, Adam was 874 years old, still fathering children. And when Lamech was a young boy of 56 years, not having any children yet, a young man, when Lamech was 56 years, then something happened that probably shook up the whole people of God. Adam, fulfilling 930 years, died. I wonder, what kind of a funeral was that? I wonder what the departure of Adam meant to his people. I imagine if they called upon the name of God, if they had their prayers together around the altar that they built to offer sacrifices, when Adam prayed, the that it must have been a very special event, a very solemn service. He was the only one that knew the glory and blessedness of the Garden of Eden. He was the only one that remembered a glorious face of someone who talked with them, being their creator. And when Adam prayed, being the representative of a mankind whose fortune and blessedness he himself ruined, it must have been very, very emotional. When he talked, when he preached to his people how wonderful and how glorious God is, and how great is his goodness and mercy, that after they so easily transgressed God's commandment, God still promised them a savior. Well, that, I think, glorious, wonderful, gifted, sincere, godly preacher died, and his people were around his dead body, and there had to be a burial. So Adam did not live long enough. He lived 930 years, but he did not live long enough to see Enoch's departure. All that Adam saw, as far as the end of human journey in this world is, all that Adam has seen in his lifetime was the death of his son Abel. The tragedy for which he, Adam, was also responsible and guilty. But only 57 years after Adam died, Enoch was transferred. And then, 55 years after the departure of Enoch, Seth died. It was the year 1042. And then only 14 years after Seth died, that Seth is the second man on the list of the patriarchs, the 10th patriarch and the last one was born in the year 1056. Noah was born. After the birth of Noah, the things started going down. The people of God started losing ground. The zeal for the Lord, just short time after the death of first two people, Adam and Seth, the true worship of God started fading away. The number of the sincere and true worshippers was fewer and fewer, but the number of the membership was greater and greater. So there was a great multitude of people that were called God's people, and there were only a few that truly believed and obeyed the word of God. So we see that 84 years, when Noah was 84 years old, Enos, the third patriarch, died. And then 95 years later, the fourth patriarch, Cainan, died. And then 55 years after that, Mahalaleel, the fifth patriarch, died. And then 132 years after that, the sixth patriarch died, Jared. Noah is still a man without any child. We see something that is very similar to the situation with Abraham and Sarah. Those that are faithful and obedient to the Lord, they have no children. And those that are departing from the word of God and forsaking His ways, they're multiplying. And so, 500 years old was Noah. And it seems that all of a sudden, he had 3 sons. Not having children for so long, it seems that either 3 sons were born very short time, one after the other, or they were triplets. At that time, the corruption on earth was awful. And then, 1651, the 9th patriarch, Lamech, Noah's father, died. The 8th patriarch, Methuselah, still lived 5 years longer than his son, Lamech. So as Noah received the commandment from God to build the ark, that big ship, for the salvation of his family, his grandfather lived all find that at the time of Noah's 3 sons, when they started living on this earth, the record is found at that time that the corruption was very great. And we see that again, Lamech, Methuselah's son, Noah's father, died before Methuselah, his father, and Noah's grandfather. And we found, beloved, that in 1656th year, Methuselah died. That year, the flood started. Now, it's really difficult to prove that Methuselah was faithful, that he was a helper to Noah, that he was a good advisor, that he was an encouragement and support. Hopefully he was. But one thing is certain, none of his descendants, none of his children, nor anyone of the other patriarchs, descendants, and children of theirs did not join Noah in building the ark. And I wonder, beloved, if Methuselah lived so long, if he raised his son Lamech in the fear of God and teaching him the covenant of their father Adam and Seth, and if Methuselah walked with God faithfully, he must have been one of the wisest people that lived, because he lived so long. Methuselah lived 969 years. But beloved, if Methuselah was not faithful, if he died in the flood with the faithless and disobedient, then something awful happened to him, just like similar to the tragedy of King Solomon, the wisest man was the most foolish man, knowing so much and still missing the most important thing, and that is salvation. Well, when Noah's sons, Sem or Shem, Ham and Japheth, were about 100 years old, they were all married people, but they didn't have any children yet. The flood started, and that was the end of the first world. And Noah's family was the beginning of the new world. What was the final phase of the mankind before the great flood? We see that first the people were corrupted. They did not worship God. They worshiped their own selves and the pleasures of this life, earthly life. Material blessings were their only object of worship. Then they started mixing with unbelievers. Their love was so great that they did not segregate against anyone or anything. Also, they prided themselves. They were very proud in those mixed marriages, because some of the children from the mixed marriages were giants. And we see today, beloved, that the true and faithful churches are very modest, very small, very few. But the mixed marriages, the churches that have the name of God and the teaching of men, are giants. And they are getting ready for a flood. This time is going to be a flood of fire. We see also, beloved, that after that, the record in the scripture tells us every flesh corrupted its way. So after the mixed marriages, they became like Sodom and Gomorrah. An awful situation. It seems that Satan has finally achieved what he was longing for, a kingdom without God. The people are sinful and they are rejoicing in their sinful ways, but not for long. That corruption ended in flood. But that's only a big and strong, convincing sign of God's judgment. The judgment is still coming, and it's going to be much worse than the flood that lasted but a short time.
And yet, we see that even though Noah and his family were only a few people, but because they obeyed the Lord, the grace of God was with them, and they were blessed. And in their lives, God was honored. And that is our prayer and our desire, that in our lives, even though we are few, God be honored, that we worship the Lord, that we obey His word, that we find our pleasure, comfort, and joy of our hearts in serving the Lord and being His people. May the Lord bless His word, and may He multiply His word. May He grant us ever-growing knowledge, ever clearer understanding, and ever-growing zeal for the house of our God, for to Him belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever. Amen.
Amen.